it's over, I'll come out there and, yeah. And then, then it's going to be on. I took a... I drank some of that stuff. Josh, you know, I'm like, oh,
which one did you eat?
Yeah, let's have like a big ceremony. All right. Well, hey, good evening, everybody. I hope y'all are doing well. It's good to see this good crowd out on a Wednesday night, and it's been a good day today. We started our day off pretty early at the church. We had a good crowd of people about 6:30 this morning right here at the Mountain City Baptist, and we met with our our project manager, and he wanted to look at everything and the grading and all that, and he's trying to line things up and get all that going. And his name's Lonnie, and he is from Crossville, and is a super nice guy, he was a big help. So he's been doing a lot of things for us, and I'm glad we hired this guy. So far, so good. He's been taking care of things, and like building. You got to get a building permit. You know that, and everything costs money. And so I thought we were going to have to fill that out. And he called me today, said, I went ahead and did that for you. I went and got the building permit, and we'll do all that. Don't worry about it. We're setting up this electrician. We're setting this up. We're setting up that. And I was like, well, hey, thanks. I really appreciate it, you know. And then he came up with this really nice outline for me tonight. And so just kidding. No, he didn't do that. But anyway, I've got just a thought here I want to talk about here tonight for a few minutes, and we're going to look at a couple things. Let me see if I can find this. I'm going to pull this up, but going to look at the thought on a conscience. There's a lot of, let's see here. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 9. You got your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, you've got the Apostle Paul. He's talking, and he is speaking about Israel, and he's talking about his burden specifically for Israel. And let me see here. There's one more here I'm looking for. he says here, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And I want to look at that word conscience. He said, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is very, the Holy Spirit is very much a part of what kind of guides and directs the conscience. And, you know, the conscience is something that's very important. There's a lot in the Bible that's mentioned in the Bible a lot. And in your car, you have gauges on your car dash, and you need to know what these gauges mean. And I've been ignoring my gas gauge here lately, and had some really close calls. I think I have driven on grace a few times. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm just too. You ever feel like you're too busy to get gas? You know, it's like I don't have time for this, but you got to do it, Dean. You just got to stop and fill the tank up. But, God put a gauge in all of us, and it's our conscience, and we need to learn how to read it so we can determine what's right and wrong. And we want to see tonight, we want to see what is the conscience, and we want to see, again, the second thing we want to look at is how do we calibrate it. Sometimes the conscience, you'll see it can get off a little bit, and you want your conscience to be in tune with God, all right? God has a specific, and just like gauges have to be calibrated sometimes, and I had a truck one time, and... it was an 82 F100, and the gas gauge did not work at all. So I had a 2x2 in the back of my truck, and I would just stick down there, and I could tell how much gas was in there, you know, and that's how I did it. And, I mean, nothing worked on that truck. I mean, it was the only truck I ever made money on, though. I think I paid $900 and sold it for $950. But you need to have the gauges worked on, and And he says, I say the truth in Christ. And when he says in Christ, he's saying, I am a Christian. And so it's very important that we see Paul is saying, I'm saying what God wants me to say here. And this is the context of God sending Israel, or God choosing Israel. It's his chosen people. He sent Christ to Israel. And he's going to talk about how God is going to deal with Israel. And in Romans 9 and 10, it talks about how Israel is blinded. And you can see that even today. Israel's the Jewish nation is there blinded to the truth of Jesus Christ. I remember talking to a guy in a fish restaurant in the Philadelphia airport. We spent about an hour and a half talking to each other, and he was a Jewish rabbi. He was on his way to Chicago to lecture, and so man talked about all these things. Isaiah 53, you know, Psalm 22, and like, what do you think about that? How do you explain that? And they just do not see that. They do not see that as being Jesus Christ. And they're just blinded to that. And so, but he says, my conscience bearing witness. And so he said, I am in Christ. So it's your conscience will not work right if you are not saved. And even if you are saved, sometimes your conscience has to be recalibrated. And the conscience will look to God and say, you know, God, what do you say about this? And it will look to his word to confirm the truth, and it will calibrate and it will guide you. And so it's very important that we see. So what is a conscience? And we see the first thing that a conscience means with knowledge. So knowledge about what? What knowledge of what? Is ethical, moral concern? Let your conscience be your guide. You'll hear people say that a lot. Your conscience, it will either convict you or it will excuse you on ethical or moral items. It will. It'll kind of guide you through those. A conscience, a moral compass tells if we're right or wrong. If someone says, like, you know, you hurt me by saying that thing or something like that, well, the Bible tells us that every man is just in his own cause. So a knee-jerk reaction when someone tells you, you hurt me, the knee-jerk reaction say, well, no, I didn't. I didn't do it, you know. And so, but, you know, we have to have a sensitive spirit, and we have to be in tune with the conscience and line it up with the Word of God. But a conscience will, if a conscience is right, it will produce guilt when it is violated, all right? If somebody does something wrong, let's pick on Glenn. Glenn does something wrong. He was rude to Miss Jane. That never happens, I'm sure. But he was rude, and his conscience is going to say, Glenn, you're wrong, okay? And it kind of gets us back on track. And the Holy Spirit will tell us, and I've been there so many times. It's like, oh, man, I better go back and backtrack there, because it's the opposite of peace. What does Colossians 3:15 say? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be in perfect peace. And so, but a conscience, it can be like a prosecuting attorney. Sometimes a conscience can be a defense attorney. If the conscience says you're wrong, well, then, you get it fixed. But sometimes a conscience will confirm your stance. There's a lot of times you'll do things in your life, and maybe you're taking a step of faith, and you're like, oh, boy, should I really be doing this? This is kind of crazy. And then, you know, you've got some scripture to stand on, and it will confirm your stance, and you just need to hold the line. And so that helps you in that situation. So God will, if you get accused of something, or, you know, if something is you're not sure about it, well, you ask God. You ask God, and God will, he'll use your conscience. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will point us to truth. And we're going to, at the end of the tonight, we're going to use application on how do we rightly calibrate the conscience? How do we make sure it's right? How do we know we're steering in the right direction? I know when I was on Sea Hope, and I tell you, we were singing that Navy song the other night. I don't know about you, but I just had so much fun doing that. I just felt like I was in a band, marching band or something, like at West Point or something. But and you guys sing so good. But we were singing Anchors Away, and it reminded me of on a Sea Hope. You know, I guess I feel like I'm an honorary sailor, even though I'm not. But I mean, I spent 3 weeks on the boat, so that's got to count for something, right? I mean, I paid a little bit of due. I didn't complete boot camp, but I mean, you know, I got the hat that says Sea Hope, and so. But they let me drive the boat, and you know, it shows you like where you're going on. You got, like, you know, they put in these coordinates, and this is where you got to go, and you know, and you're steering the boat, it shows you if you're on the track or not. And it's not easy as you think it is. I mean, a big boat, man, you start getting off course, and then you try to get it back, and then you overcorrect. And before long, man, I'm doing like a S shape. And captain comes up there, and he's like, "What in the world is going on?" You know, but it takes a lot of practice. But the conscience helps us steer straight, and so we want to have the right conscience, a good conscience, and a conscience really is a gift of God. It is a gift of God to you for your good and for your joy. God wants you to have a joy that's full. He wants you to have a peace that passeth all understanding. And there's all kinds of things every day in your life that is going to come into your life that can get you off track from those things. Because the devil is a liar. He's a liar. Remember what we talked about Sunday? He puts things in our minds. He's always attacking. He's always trying to mess things up. He's trying to steer us away from what God's best is for our life. And when we get to that place, it does. It takes our joy, and our conscience will help steer us back to where we need to be, and usually will steer us to a place of humility. And you can never, ever, ever go wrong with that. And so the first job of a conscience really is to convince you that you're a sinner. It does. It convinces that we're a sinner. Let's look at that one verse in Acts chapter 23, in verse number 1. But it's for our good. The Bible says, and Paul earnestly beholding counsel said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And he's addressing the council, and he's saying, "Hey, I have no regrets for my life. I have no regrets for anything I've done. I have, you know," and he'll say later on in 2 Timothy that he finished my course. He had a clear conscience, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to have. And your conscience, it will, the first thing, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, and then after you are saved, it's for your good, okay? And this causes you to align back to God's best for your life. And so your conscience, it can be damaged, it can be desensitized, and it can be overly sensitive. It tells you you're wrong. Somebody says, you know, you're wrong. And you say, "Well, I don't care. I'm not changing. You hurt my conscience. You know, I don't care. Speak to the hand," you know, whatever. We look over here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we see a conscience that's got a problem, and it's not right. It talks about the latter times. This is the times we live in. Some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's not what you want. You don't want that type of a conscience. You don't want it to be seared with a hot iron. And but God is very concerned with your conscience. You want to submit that to God. You want God's approval on it. And you want God. That's God's gift to you for your good. So what? Again, what is your conscience? What does it do? Well, again, we mentioned this before, but it will convict you of sin. Let's look over here in John chapter 8, and I'm getting ready to land in a text, but I'm just kind of taking a while to get there, but we're kind of jumping around here. Just bear with me. But John chapter 8 and verse number 9, this is the women when Jesus is dealing with the woman who was known as the adulterous woman, and when he wrote on the ground, okay, and he says, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone," and so he stoops down, writes on the ground, which they, and the Bible says in verse number 9, says they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And so that these people, when Jesus came on the scene, they were convicted. They were convicted of their wrongdoing. And so there was their conscience. It says being convicted of their own conscience. It will convict you of sin. It will confirm if you're right. It can be not only a prosecuting attorney, but a defense attorney. A conscience can keep you right. Let's look over here again in the book of Acts. If we look over here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 16, the Bible says this. It says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." And this is, again, Paul talking. He's talking this time to Felix. And, man, the Apostle Paul, you know, he's one of my heroes. Just, he did sin, you know, and he admitted his shortcomings, and he really did. He was a very humble guy. He said, I'm nothing. The grace of God, I am what I am. He admits all his shortcomings. But I believe he did. I believe he kept his sin list short. And I think he did as much as he could in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he talks several times about, I mean, my conscience is clear. And so what a wonderful, wonderful testimony to have. And that's what all of us want to have, and all of us can have. It's possible. It's possible because of the forgiving, the faithfulness of God to forgive us, and because we can access the throne of grace. We come boldly before it at any time. We can ask forgiveness because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's God's gift to us. He wants us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, the Holy Spirit will allow us to be in tune with what God wants us to do, and we can walk with the Lord. We can walk with the Lord. And that, what a wonderful thing. And the Bible says Enoch, he was not. He walked with the Lord. God took him. He just was in tune with God every step, you know, talking to the Lord. What are you doing now? What's that Enoch up to? Oh, he's walking with the Lord. you know Enoch. He's just walking with the Lord. And I want that life, and you want that life. And so the conscience is a wonderful thing, and it will keep us right. And the conscience, when the conscience is right, the conscience will, and again, it's very much tied into the Holy Spirit in your life. It will lead you to witness and to give the gospel, and that's what God wants us to do. And so let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 1:12, the Bible says this. It says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to your word." And so he's talking about, you know, really just about giving the gospel message, and the conscience will lead you to give the gospel. And so, but that's really what the conscience is. So how can the conscience get off and get to where it's not what it's supposed to be? And sometimes a conscience has to be calibrated. And again, it's that instrument that helps us determine what's right and wrong and who we should be listening to. Sometimes a prosecuting attorney, sometimes a defense attorney. But let's finish out tonight. Well, we'll be in some other passages too, but let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And let's read here about Peter. And Peter is neck deep in ministry. And there's a man named Cornelius, and Cornelius is a Gentile, all right? Now, Peter's Jewish, right? Cornelius is a Gentile. Cornelius wants some help, and he has a vision, and so God works. God's always working on the other end. Whenever God's leading you to go somewhere, to talk to somebody, chances are God's working in their heart too. That's just the way it goes. God is leading us. Priscilla and I will be going with a team to Honduras. Let me tell you, God's working there too. There's people there that are, the field is white and ready to harvest. And I can't wait. Can't wait. In Mountain City, the field is white and ready to harvest. And we get to be a part of this every day. It's where we live. And so God is working. And so we see how God is working in here on Cornelius. He's working in Peter. And so he's going to send Peter to see Cornelius. And in verse number 5, it says, "And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, one whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. on the morning as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherewith were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now listen to this. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. Three times this happened. The vessel was received again up into heaven. All right. So this is a very interesting passage right here. So the voice from heaven, who is talking to Peter? This is God. This is God. And so Peter's conscience tells him, when he sees the unclean food come down, his conscience tells him not to do it. Why does his conscience tell him not to do it? Well, he grew up that way. He was taught that his whole life. Okay? But God says, you know what? I don't care what you were taught, Peter. Not so. Okay? What God hath cleansed. All right? What had happened? Jesus died on the cross. The law was fulfilled. The law now is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. Christ is all in all. It is finished. We're not bound to that Old Testament law anymore. It is profitable. Those are dietary laws are not bad things to, you know, it lets you guide your diet and things like that these days. Even there's a lot of health benefit to them. That's basically what the Mediterranean diet is. A cardiologist will recommend to you. But God says, hey, not so. Not so. And so Peter had to have his conscience calibrated. And he had to look at this and say, okay. And so he had to embrace these things. Now, what was God doing? God was preparing Peter to reach Cornelius. God was preparing Peter to be able to bridge a cross-cultural, cross-ethnic gap and reach people, Gentiles. All right? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to reach across barriers and reach across people that aren't just like we are, okay? And even in this room, there's a lot of us, we're very different. That's what's awesome about Mountain City Baptist, and I love that. And we want to reach all kinds of different people, and I love that. And so, but God has to prepare us to what, and see, so here's the issue. You know, a lot of us grew up maybe with certain, maybe certain things that you were taught or whatever. I grew up I was around a lot of, fundamentalism. There was a lot of things that were taught, and it was just, this is just how you do it, okay? They weren't bad things. They were great things, great standards. But in reality, they're preferences, right? They're preferences. And so whenever I got away from some of those things, I had to look and say, you know, some of these things even God had to show me. He says, not so, you know, not so. You calibrate your conscience, and so there's certain things maybe, but then there's other things. Your conscience can be the other way. There's a lot of things where maybe you grow up and you accept things as normal, like this is just how you do it. This is just everybody else does it. This is what society does. And so since society does it that way and everybody else does it that way, or maybe you grew up and that's just how your family and you think that's just the way things are, and then God has to calibrate your conscience to the Word of God, and you start learning a better way. You know, you think about the disciples of was Apollo, right? And they were following him, but they came in. They says, "Hey, this is good," but no, they were following the teachings of John the Baptist. Said, "This is good, but there's a better way." And so they lined it up with the gospel and the scripture. And their eyes were open to these things. And so your conscience has to be calibrated. So we always want to calibrate our conscience and make sure that it's lined up with God's word. I don't want, you know, you can't just follow Jonesology, okay? You can't do that. You know, there's all these different things. You'll hear a lot of strong preferences, okay? But line it up with the Word of God. And let the Word of God be your guide on these things. And so let's look at five consciences in the Bible. There's a good conscience in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. I just think that's one of the best passages in all the Bible, where Peter was doing something that he was taught his whole life, and he thought it was right. And for most of his life, it was right. But then God kind of, he said, no, this is okay. You know, this is what I want you to do. And so he had to recalibrate his conscience, and then he was able to be an effective in his ministry where God had put him. So let's look here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. And the Bible says this. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. So you have a good conscience. That's the goal that we want to have. And so Paul has that. I believe he's setting that example before young Timothy. He's trying to disciple this young preacher boy that's going to become a pastor. And he's saying, you know, you want to have a good conscience. And we look over down here in verse number 19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, and having some put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck. And so don't be like that. He goes on down to Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. If we look over in chapter 3, in verse number 9, it says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So we want to handle the gospel correctly. We want to preach Christ crucified and Christ alone. And we want to handle the Word of God right and have a good conscience. So that's the goal. That's what we want to have. All right? Now, where do we get off? What can happen to your conscience? Well, you can have an evil conscience. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. And over there, the Bible says this. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All right? So again, the purpose of this evil conscience is to get you to repent and turn, okay, and get that right. We see another type of conscience that's mentioned in the Bible. It's a little different than evil conscience. And again, we've mentioned that before, but over in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, let's look in the context of it. It's talking about in the last times. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in verse number 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and again, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's one of the reasons why we pray before we eat. Right there, that scripture right in there. And we give thanks for our daily bread. But so you can see here, you can have a seared conscience. You see later on in the context, there's some people are forbidding and making rules about, there's some real stringent vegan. I mean, people go really extreme with that. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. If you want to try it, it's very healthy. But to say this is the only way to go, the Bible says that's not. You know, it's okay to do it if you want to do that. But to make that stance, so that's again, the conscience got to be recalibrated. So what we got to line up with the Word of God. And so every creature of God is good if it received with thanksgiving. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so, when we start to live our lives, if we start speaking lies and hypocrisy, and, we may maybe go to church, say the right things, but there's sin in our life, well, that's where we start to ignore our conscience and we stop hearing it. That's a seared conscience. Have you ever been there? Gotten where, man, you did something you know was wrong, your conscience, you felt guilty. But then that second time, you didn't feel as guilty. And then that third and fourth, then after a while, it doesn't even bother you. That's a problem. That's a real problem. That's a seared conscience, and that will lead a Christian to a place of absolutely no joy. It can lead to a Christian to eventually where they cannot see afar off, and they forget they were purged from their own sins. It leads you to really doubt in everything. You just very ineffective. If you get your conscience cauterized by repeated action of sin and resistance to that Holy Ghost that's telling you don't do that, that's a bad place. Okay, there's just this seared conscience, a hardened determination to resist every spiritual inclination. Really, I mean, there's a gradual deterioration of sensibility, and this is a result of habitual sin. Okay, this is the cycle we got to get out of, and so. I love Freedom at Last. I do. I love the program, man. We're gonna relaunch that this fall, and we're post COVID. We're ready to go again, and we're gonna relaunch that. But Freedom at Last, man, one of the best things I like about the program is it just hammers scripture memorization. Okay, that is where you get your conscience in tune with the Word of God, and that will guide your life, and it will give you victory and freedom. And so. A lot of us will struggle with these things. There's a defiled conscience in Titus chapter 1 in verse number 5. Let's try to look at that one. See how much time we got? I don't know if I'm going to finish this. Titus 1:5. No, Titus 1:15. Okay, the Bible says this, unto the pure are all things pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay? Maybe somebody that's never been saved can have a defiled conscience. It's just defiled. Okay? It's hard. It's very difficult. You got to be careful with that, and so we need to calibrate this. We want to have a good conscience. We want to have a sensitive spirit, and I always talk to the teenagers and say keep a tender heart, sensitive spirit. And that's what are you saying when you say that? You say have a good conscience, good conscience. You see, teenagers will get that way. They'll get things wrong in their life. A real sensitive teenager, the Lord's working in their life, but then usually it creeps in, it's the music or something like that, the wrong kind of friends, relationship, whatever, and then that conscience gradually gets hardened, and you'll just see it. You can see it. You've seen it in your kids' life maybe. They just get hardened, and they get that. So you want to have a good conscience. Then there's a weak conscience. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. First Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7. And sorry, I'm having trouble reading our project manager's handwriting here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, it says howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto his hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And so Paul here is in an argument to get people with different consciences to agree, and there's almost like a three chapter argument going on in this book here. And the idols are nothing. Their conscience is weak. He's saying we don't have time for this. We really don't. And he's saying get rid of the idols. Eat the food. some say okay, and some say how can you eat it? You know, a weak conscience may be hypersensitive or oversensitive. Spiritually, a conscience has been programmed by a person or an institution, but not God. That's a weak conscience. And that can happen. You can have your conscience programmed by an institution or just a movement, but not by the Bible. And it's possible that can happen. Okay, so we want to be in tune with the Bible. We put a premium on Bible preaching. Pastor Tyler is a great great Bible preacher. I mean, he really is a very good expository preacher, and he's going to help the church grow. I really love his preaching, and so how do we calibrate our conscience to the Word of God? Well, the first thing you want to do is ask for God's help. No, I mean, just ask God. If you need to lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives all men liberally. You know, let him ask faith. You ask God, and you say, God, I want to know your mind. I want to know your mind on this. And God will reveal himself to you through his book. He will. So the second thing you want to do is not only ask for God, but educate yourself through the truth of God's word. So to calibrate, the word calibrate means to add some things, and it means to subtract some things. So when you read the word of God, the word of God will tell you sometimes to take things away out of your life. Sometimes it's going to say to add things to your life. And so it might encourage you to be faithful in some areas of your life. And so that helps you calibrate your conscience. And get some study helps. It's not wrong to have I've got some Bible dictionaries. I use some programs on my iPad. So Strong's Concordance is a great thing to have. You can get them now just about anything on your smartphone. But, you know, you look up and you want to learn and study, some of the study Bibles. I love the Rock of Ages Study Bible, Life Application. Ask Pastor Tyler. He's got every Bible that's ever been printed from all the way back to Gutenberg. And so he can tell you which one's the best. But what does it mean? You know, how is it used into another place in the Bible? I mean, you know, you think about, I mean, all these gray areas. What about watching this movie or that movie or things like that? What about, you know, the music? What does the Bible say about music? The Bible has a lot to say about music. I'm working on a message, but I'm just not ready. But the Bible has so much to say about music. The Bible has a lot to say about clothing. You know, the Bible emphasizes distinction and modesty. And see, if we've ever had a problem in our day in which we live, is there's a lack of distinction and there is a lack of modesty. And so when we follow what the Bible says about clothing, you know, it's going to lead you to that distinction. So what does that mean? Men should look like men. Women should look like women. That's and modesty. And so those are things. And then we want to educate ourselves through the truths of God's word. And then the third thing is ask godly Christians. It really does. It helps. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. And, you know, whenever you're not sure about an issue, you know, find someone in your life that you say, this person, I believe, has a walk with the Lord, this person seems to be going in the right direction, and maybe just seek that person, hey, you know, I'm not sure about this. What do you think? And a lot of times what that person's going to do is they're not going to tell you what they think. What are they going to do, Glenn? They're going to say, here, let me show you this verse. And they're going to point you to the Word of God, and that's what you want. Because, right, we're getting back to what does God say about it. And that's what godly wisdom, godly counsel is going to point you to the Word of God. You get somebody that will do that in your life, you thank God for that. You thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. That's a good friend. And so those are things that we can do to calibrate our conscience. And we can. You can have a good conscience and rest your head on your pillow at night and sleep with a good conscience, and that's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when, you just have a good day with the Lord and you have a spirit-filled day, and you know, at the end of the day, man, you were led by the Lord that day, and you did what God wanted you to do that day. It's nothing better than living for the Lord and doing God's word. And so I'm glad to be being able to serve with you all. And we'll go ahead and close out there with a word of prayer. And I went a little bit long. I think it's about time to ring the bell. But let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time we could look about the topic of a conscience in the Bible. And God, I pray you'll help us with this. Help us to calibrate our conscience and to get our conscience in tune with what you want it to be. And it may be a good conscience. I pray that you would give that for everybody in the room tonight. And I thank you for your goodness and for giving us these tools and these gauges, Lord, to help us to be guided into your best for our life. And all these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. better put in your earplugs, Brother Gene. Brother Gene's got a twitchy hand there. He's gonna